The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama. Sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store. An interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
They're going to pry these guns right out of my hands when they come to take them away. I believe in the rights that my fathers gave me when he signed the Constitution that day. No misguided president or crooked politician with a greasy pocket be fair. When the hard-working man gets tired of your cry, it's gonna rain wrath, beware. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. You're not gonna take it away. I stand up and fight for my freedoms and rights. That's a price you'll have to pay. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. Red-blooded to the core. You ain't ever had a fight in your life like a fight that you're your champ for.
Welcome to Armed Alabama. Glad you could join us tonight. We've got a good show for you. Of course, as always, this is the show about your self-defense, firearm and ammo selection, home protection, concealed carry, training, proper range etiquette, and of course, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi law, and of course, federal law. If you got a question for us here at the studio here on Armed Alabama, give us a call, 251-343-0106. That number to the studio is 251-343-0106. We'd be glad to take your comments or questions, anything you might have. And you can text that number to the studio here, and we'll see your text on the studio board. And that way we'll be able to answer your questions that you may text us in kind. Or just give us a call, 251-343-0106. And you can follow us on Facebook, and that's Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. And we are going to try a little something different tonight. We're going to try to broadcast on YouTube, YouTube Live. So if we can get that up, we'll definitely let you know. And, of course, you can follow us on our YouTube channel as we're discussing it, and that's just simply Armed Alabama on YouTube. So we have a lot of content there, a lot of different videos. And speaking of a lot of content, you can go to our website, armedalabama.com, and we have all of our previous shows, most all of them anyway, going back now 3 years, believe it or not, that we've been doing here, that we've been doing Armed Alabama, myself and Judge Rusty Johnston. So go to our website, armedalabama.com. You can listen to a lot of our previous shows. Lots of content and information there for you. And also you can email us, adam@armedalabama.com or thejudge@armedalabama.com. If you have think of any kind of questions or you think may have a good subject for one of our upcoming shows or article or anything else like that, we'll be glad to look at it and answer any questions that you send us. Of course, we want to take this opportunity to identify our sponsors and thank them, McCoy Outdoors. They are definitely one of our title sponsors here, and we appreciate them, Ace Hardware Stores, Spring Hill, Crayola, and Moffitt locations, the Steve Moore Law Firm, Hanson Heating and Air, Mike Ward's Liberty Safe. And if you would like to advertise your business here on Armed Alabama, we would love to have you. We'd love to sit down and talk with you. And you just give us a shout. You can email us, adam@armedalabama.com, as I said before, and thejudge@armedalabama.com. So before we get into our main topics of our show that the judge has tonight, just want to bring up some different points. One of the things that's going on right now, there's a lot of talk in the news, is about whether or not your firearm is stolen out of your vehicle. Out of a locked car or an unlocked car. So if you have a firearm that you're carrying in your car, it's definitely your responsibility. It's your responsibility for that firearm. It's your responsibility for all that ammunition for each round that's in that car.
So are you liable if somebody – if you leave your car
No,
unlocked?
You're not liable.
And somebody steals
no.
a weapon?
It's one thing about being responsible. Thank you for bringing that point, Charles. It's one thing – for having your firearm and being responsible for it and being responsible for every round in that firearm, it's another thing entirely to be liable for it.
So if somebody steals your gun and shoots somebody, you're not to blame?
No. No, you're not. And according to Alabama law, you're not.
But even though if you'd have been a little more thoughtful and locked your gun up or your vehicle, the crime might not have happened.
Well, you know, Charlie, it's like a – there's a doctrine in the law called an attractive nuisance, for instance. And if you were in a, let's say out in the country where there were no laws or ordinances about swimming pools or dangerous things that children could get into,
right.
What it's saying is that's almost telling the children, hey, come over here and get in this trouble, or a junkyard or something like that. Sometimes you can be held liable for that. But
being negligent and liable are two different things.
Well, no, you're liable, meaning you're legally liable either for negligence or wantonness or willfulness. But the problem is, you know, the right to keep a swimming pool or junkyard is protected by the Constitution. And Alabama has a state code section that's called a preemption section that says only the legislature can enact laws that affects people's right to keep and bear arms. That means not a city council. You know, the legislature, if it wanted, could abolish a city of Mobile, city of anywhere tomorrow. It's a creature of the state. And for some reason, nobody ever mentioned now, it's not going to go anywhere, but nobody ever mentioned, hey, if we tried to pass something like this, it would run afoul of Alabama's preemption law, not to mention is trying to put the liability off on someone who's not liable. Namely, the criminal who shoots somebody is liable. And the doctrine and law always have been that no one is responsible for the criminal acts of a third person. You park in my driveway and come over for dinner and you go into your car and eat and somebody shoots you dead, unless I have noticed there's somebody out there with a scope, you know, and he's waiting to shoot somebody, unless I have some superior notice. No.
And yeah, you're not. It's not your fault you invited him to dinner.
That's right. The intervening cause is that criminal act. That is the cause of the trouble. And it's like this, you know, I think part of the problem with people leaving their guns in their cars are phony no gun signs. Their Bel Air Mall has a no guns allowed sign. It's not valid. It's not legal.
Exactly. And ergo, people leave their firearms in their car.
They're trying to be law-abiding when it's not.
And then,
the law.
Of course, you got to think about, you know, especially if you're a family individual, and whether it be your mother or father, or you have children, you're trying to get the children in the car, you're trying to get the stroller out of the car, and trying to keep the children from a run around in and around the vehicle inside a parking lot, worrying about other drivers. You walked into the store and you left your car unlocked.
Yeah. And then, let's face it, you come out and get kidnapped and tortured to death. That Bel Air Mall or whoever owns it, they're not responsible for what happened to you. Absent unique situations that they knew or should have known that was going to happen. You know, they're warned a gang was in the area. So I think the way to start it is, number one, people need to stop obeying these phony no-gun signs. I've got a list of them. We can go over in a minute. And number two, people need to get a little more comfortable about carrying and concealing. I can understand that people don't want maybe a hassle with an ignorant, you know, owner of a store. But so just conceal it. But get your concealed carry permit. That's what's going to protect you and all those things. Looks like we got Alan on the phone. You want to try to get him in?
Yes, sir.
Alan, how are you?
Yes, sir. Good. How y'all doing?
All right, doing well. Thank you for calling in, Alan. What you got for us?
Yeah, I just want to piggyback on what you said, too. I mean, you know, carry, you know, having your concealed permit and the signs and everything, and a lot of people, you know, think, you know, when you have your permit, and we live on the Gulf Coast, so we travel into different states quite a bit.
Right.
And, you know, Florida, they do accept our permits, and Mississippi accepts our permits.
Correct.
But they also, you have to go by their laws. So,
amen. Yeah.
State of Alabama, there's an app. I don't know if people have ever seen it. It's called Legal Heat.
But we have not.
All the laws
L-E-G-A-L-H-E-A-T?
Yes, Legal Heat. When I go pick my kids up, you know, according to Alabama law, I can carry my concealed weapon in and pick them up from school.
You can. Absolutely. Unless you intend to commit a felony.
Recognizes it. If I go to Florida, that doesn't apply in their law, so I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, you got to know it. Your site and another one called www.handgunlaw, all one word, .us. It's absolutely free, as I'm sure you is, and follow the rule of the law of the state you're going to. But that'll make sure you're,
yes, sir.
And you can get it on both those sites. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. Everybody ought to be aware,
yes,
of that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We got to go to a break. Give us a call, 251-343-0106.
Trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Why, you gonna pull those pistols or whistle Dixie?
I love it! I'm gonna whistle Dixie.
Well, we just had Confederate Memorial Day, which
yesterday
is celebrated, but it's not the real day. That's the 26th.
Can't you do both? Pull the gun and whistle
Dixie?
Well, yeah,
maybe have everything. But there are a lot of things, if you're into the Civil War, no matter what side you're on, that happened this week in history. And we also had Lexington and Concord, April 17th. We'll check it out. I got to double check that. But April is a real historic month. Amazing. I guess amazing. Every month's pretty historical, but this month in particular. Adam, I'm gonna try to find my phone if I can again. I've got a program that says who has no gun signs up in Mobile.
Okay, and again, while you're searching for that, let's remind everybody 343-0106 is the number to call if you have a question or comment.
And I screwed us up on YouTube. So
yeah, and the YouTube experiment is
well, we can try it again.
My wife screwed us up.
I think it would be a good experiment.
We're gonna do that. It's, for some reason, she wasn't here, and I just couldn't handle it.
No television tonight.
She knows how to work the levers.
Computer video.
Okay, so not only is it Charlie, but she knows how to work the levers too, huh?
Yeah. There's a good app you can get for a phone, $1.99, called CCW. You can get it on either Android or Apple from Workman's Technology. It keeps you up on the state's law and all that for $1.99. But they also put out another pretty neat program. And it is called Posted, I believe. Yeah, Posted, P-O-S-T-E-D. And what we're going to do is we're going to put search by, name of city, search by city. Now, I haven't verified these, so if these people do not have signs up that aren't in conformance with the law, I apologize, and they could give me holler, or they could call us, or they could give us a email at thejudge@armedalabama.com, and we will certainly correct it. Because
these are places of business that have signs up prohibiting guns.
Right. That, according to this program, and
if you think of all the total businesses, there's really not that big a percentage of signs up.
Well, I'll give you two. Colonial Bel Air Mall, we talked about that. Downtown Mobile Alliance, I think that's an office downtown, so I'm not real upset. But Ladd Peoples Stadium, if you have a concealed carry, that sign is wrong. It says, it says null, meaning I guess it's legally null. Mobile Surgery Center, now, you know, I'm probably the only one that takes a gun with me when I have surgery, but they don't qualify if it's the place I'm thinking of. They don't, they're not part of the hospital, so they don't qualify as a place that occasionally might take in someone who's psychiatrically disturbed or whatever. So,
Judge,
that's
can we back up just a hair to the stadium thing?
Yes.
Because we go to football games, and I'm sure this isn't just the Southern Mississippi Stadium in Hattiesburg, but you can't even carry an umbrella in there.
Well, that's right.
Because an umbrella could conceivably be a weapon.
What I would love someone to do is, I mean, the law says if you – in Alabama now, let's not talk about Mississippi right now – that if you either have a permit issued, a resident permit, concealed carry permit – or one that's recognized by Alabama from another state, it is legal to take those in high school or college. I'll have to check again about pro. I think it is too. Athletic events in a stadium. But, you know, like a lot of organizations, and I've done it in the past too, I'm afraid, they get by with, you know, the signs, the guards, all that. So we need somebody to go there and get arrested so we can make an issue of it.
Well, now, if they've got somebody standing there scanning people coming in and they're looking through your bags, doesn't that constitute some degree of security?
It could, but the security is supposed to be during all the hours that the businesses are open,
yeah,
not just during that event. One more, Zoe's. Is that's the restaurant at University Airport?
Yeah.
Kind of odd, Zoe's restaurant. So if you go to Zoe's, which is a good place.
Also Buffalo Wild Wings.
And tell them, we'll have to add that and we know that the Waffle Houses do, but if you go to Zoe's, tell them, hey, I'm carrying that's a silly sign, and I'm sure they would take it down.
And if you're a business person and you have a sign, call us up and tell us about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did you do it?
We know the movie houses used to, certainly. You know, whether they still do is something else, but I guarantee you they still do. So this program is maybe a work in progress, as they say. Adam, one thing I brought in just to let people know it exists is we've got a lot of boaters around here that I would take which I did. I would take a pistol on my boat or something stronger. This is we don't have my camera, but I'm showing you a 9mm old Smith & Wesson, and it's also stainless steel, you know, maybe for the salt water. But it's got a new, I say new, because there are a lot of lanyards from World War I and II that are basically leather straps. But a lanyard is a device like a rope. This looks more like an old telephone cord, and it's made by Blackhawk. It goes around your shooting hand wrist, and it attaches that gun via that cord to your wrist. So if you were out in a boat or maybe riding a horse and, goodness forbid, drop it, you would have a save. You know, I wouldn't use one ordinarily. I think you can get kind of tripped up with it. But certainly a place where losing it could either be dangerous or is lost forever.
Yeah, drop it in the water, it's gone.
Yeah, so lanyard, Blackhawk, and it has a little wrist strap.
Yeah, I actually have a Blackhawk holster.
Look what I found in my wrist strap. And one of those springs we're always looking for was stuck on the Velcro.
I have a Blackhawk holster that has a lanyard.
They make good products, and looks like we got Mike on the line, Grand Bay. Hey, Mike.
All righty, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Got a couple of security type ideas for folks out in radio land.
Okay.
All right. My uncle he's dead now, but he used to leave a radio playing, and I think it's a real good idea, like if you went away from your home, just leave some kind of radio or something.
Radio, playing. Light, TV, yeah.
Right, something like that.
Anything that makes it look like you're in there.
And I like this idea. On that Home Alone movie,
oh, yeah,
where the boys got the recording of the mean dog,
oh yeah,
barking real loud, that would be a good idea.
Well, let me add one more to it. How about getting an old dog food dish? You can get a brand new one, but dirty it up, put it half full of food
on the porch.
Put it on your porch,
and I don't even own a dog.
Yeah, now you don't want to put too much food in because the possums come up and all. But yeah, put that on your porch, and if you're a lady living alone, you're a little concerned. go to Goodwill and buy some men's size 11 tennis shoes. Stick them there in the porch with some mud on them. All those little things, you know.
Mind games.
Put doubt in the minds.
I've got a real goodie for you.
Yeah.
And that is, I think this would work. Put a sign outside your house that says, "We welcome intruders." And then on the picture on the sign, have it blowing some intruder's head off.
That probably get their attention. But then if you did shoot him, you'd be probably be exhibit one when you're in trial.
Just about the same.
Oh, I just thought I'd throw that in for comedy.
That's pretty good. Thank you.
But anyway,
those are good ideas. And of course, we know, lock your door, first of all. Lock that door.
All right.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good night.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for calling in.
Judge, you think the prosecutor would have that sign up on a tripod in front of the jury box during the trial?
You know, it depends. If it's a clear-cut shoot, you know, that guy with the axe that you're not related to is chopping through the door and you don't have to back up, but let's say you've backed up in your safe room, I don't think a judge would let him or her use that. But if it were a little questionable, like, the second the door, you know, you knocked on the door, you just shot through the door. Yeah, I think so.
There's all sorts of things you can do
to
harden your house.
Give you 100 scenarios there. Let's take Travis. He's out in Sims. Hey, Travis.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Pretty good.
Doing well. What you
man,
got for us?
I appreciate y'all taking my call, man. I come from a family of law enforcement. I was a Navy search and rescue swimmer, so
let me tell you, I got to hand it to you. That swimming, I almost drowned one time, and I never understood, how do people drown that can swim? Well, what happened to me is my boat was off the beach, you know, out of the surf, but it had gotten caught in the surf as hours went by, and as I swam out to it, I went up over a wave, and it hit me in the face. Water went down my mouth. Well, I was swimming, but I couldn't catch my breath. So
I had a lot of practice.
Yeah, man, practice. I tell you, that I was glad to get in that boat.
Oh man, look, I got a question. I have weapons in the house, and I've trained with them, obviously, from my father in law enforcement,
yep.
and my wife has connections in law enforcement here in town, and she is just not comfortable carrying the weapon as much as I would like her to be.
Okay.
As far as in her purse or with her car or when she goes to the gym or when she's, you know, doing normal daily activities. And we all know, as much as we love where we live, Mobile is not the greatest town as far as
security. Has she been like that her entire life? Pretty much.
I need to know, how can I make her more confident in carrying her concealed weapon?
Well, one thing I'd say is your wife is just like mine. I've been working on her 35 years. I won't say I've given up, but I've gotten a good grade of pepper spray to have her, and she takes it everywhere. And I have actually a canister in the house that looks like, you know, a fire extinguisher, because she's trained. I'm just afraid push comes to shove, she's not going to use it. But Adam, I'll turn it over to you.
And I'm talking about a woman who is completely confident in herself. She trains every day.
I know.
She's athletic. But she is just not comfortable in taking it either out. We have it in the house. I have several weapons in the house, and she keeps it in her glove box in her vehicle. But whenever, you know, I'm out of town with work, I want her to take it from her car to her room, from her car to the gym, from wherever she goes, because unfortunately, it's not the world's greatest place to live, and I want her
right.
to be safe.
Yeah, that's a good question,
I just
Travis.
Don't know. You know, I've been studying this for years, and it's almost psychological. With some
in some
people.
Ways it is, but I think with a certain degree of comfort that one must have or be able to feel, just a level of practice and also taking a class. She may have taken class before. But a formal class is a really good
way to
get
going again. We have a new
– a formal class is a good way to gain that comfort with that firearm. And it's a step to start. One is be able to shoot the firearm, but another is to be able to carry that firearm on your persons to be able to use it in a defensive manner. And so with that, Travis – you have to have that level of comfort, and the only way you can get there is just range time. If that is more difficult to do, sometimes is take a class. But a class is definitely the way to go to be able to get
I definitely agree with you all. I'm going to get her involved in a class. And just for everybody who out there is listening, like the last caller said in Radio Land, I would definitely like to see some more some open registration classes for females to get them more confident.
Absolutely. Females, the judge and I used to do a lot of classes, just classes
one thing
just
I might
with
add
women
too,
only.
Is we always, you know, hey, 9mm or 380 is the lowest. The best gun is one you're going to carry.
380.
And what I was going to say, the best gun's one you're going to carry. And, you know, I've got a .22 revolver right here. It's got 9 rounds in it. You know, if she'd be more careful, this is fairly big, but you can get small snub-nosed ones. You know, you may have to go with that. And, you know, it's not the best thing, but I guarantee it's going to work.
She has the 380 bodyguard.
Yeah. It just the recoil may scare her. You know, we just don't know. It's
sometimes with a lighter firearm, it will. It has more recoil.
We'll give you more info though as we go. We got to step into a break. Travis, thank you. Be safe out there.
Go Navy.
Yeah, thank you.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it any more than you men.
Cool hand, Luke. To follow up a little bit on Travis's question, you know, everybody's an individual, and I'll tell you, I just mentioned somebody used to work in my office, was not a gun person. We were all shooting, going to the range, very professional, and she was shaking like a 5-year-old that you would take to, Space Mountain. And I finally got her to shoot a little, although I'm confident she's not a shooter now. By using a .22 pistol. And, you know, most people that don't understand the workings of guns, a revolver is the best thing. I see Smith & Wesson has what they call a Model 63, which is a .22 long rifle, kind of snub nose. I guess the barrel's 3 inches. But it's that design so you could conceal it. And, you know, that might be something to think about. It weighs 28 ounces, so a little under 2 pounds. So you're not going to have any recoil.
And especially with a .22.
And we know all the people, you know, if you don't have a .45, you're not interested in killing somebody or whatever. Remember Ronald Reagan? One .22 did that to him.
Yeah.
Bobby Kennedy, dead with the .22. I mean, you could go on and on the list. Now, a lot of that is because there are more .22s out there than probably any other caliber.
To tag on to that, Judge, you know, firearm selection is very important. Picking the one that you like, that's maybe is comfortable, that has some mass. You don't want an ultralight or a super ultralight with a 9mm or a 38 or a 40 or something like that, because the recoil is going to be so adverse. Especially with a woman, they're just not going to want to utilize that.
I want to come in behind you, Adam, and something you guys said a lot, and that is if you guys are going to buy a pistol for a girlfriend or a wife or a sister or mom,
take them with you.
Take them with you to the store.
Take them down to McCoy Outdoors.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And you know, one reason I say that.
They'll hand you the guns and let you feel them and see how heavy they are and if they fit your hand.
There are a lot of places that – I'm not going to name any because I can't think of any of them. But first of all, you're waiting in line with a bunch of other people just for the opportunity to look at a gun, which is kind of insulting to spend $500 or $600. And then second, when you do, they kind of treat you like a criminal instead of an educational process. You're not going to get that at McCoy Outdoors. Of course, that Monday through Saturday.
And they know guns.
9 to 5 and then 9 to 6. They know guns. And that's every kind of gun. And here's one I find, Adam, Smith & Wesson. They make a .22 Magnum revolver. Holds 7 rounds. Yes, it's a little light, but then against the .22, it's 11.5 ounces. But it's almost 2-inch barrel. That would be something, and it's the double action only, mm-hmm. You know, which is probably safer. and they make a couple of those.
One of my favorite pistols that I have is a Smith & Wesson stainless steel revolver, snub nose, and it's just a 38, but it's a stainless steel, so it's full metal. It's not you know, titanium or aluminum or anything else like that.
Meaning it has a little weight on it.
Yeah, it has a little heft to it. And even though it's a smaller pistol, snub nose, there's not a lot of recoil. And it's very simple to operate, you know, so there's not, it's not overly complex for somebody that may have a problem with maybe feeling a little inexperienced or not having that comfort. It's really easy to learn, so it builds that comfort layer up to where you'll be more apt to want to conceal carry. Another thing as far as women goes to follow on with Travis's question that he has, one, to try to engage women and have women shoot and feel more comfortable shooting and feel more comfortable in concealed carry. Is it go take a class,
and you can
but
get
invite
that
your
way.
Friends. Invite yeah. have your wife invite
you
her friends to the
way,
range,
but if you
or
don't
to
shoot
a class
again for 2 years.
Exactly,
it's gonna it's gonna be frightening again.
Yeah,
I mean, if I drove once a year to Bel Air Mall Christmas Eve, I wouldn't. I'd be scared to death.
So
I mean, drive every day.
Make an event. Invite your friends with you. Invite your wife's friends or whatever. Go as a group, and that way it's not only is a learning experience, but it'd be a really fun experience as well.
We're going to announce something before it gets too hot. And another thing too is, remember, shot placement's the key. It's much better to know how to shoot, let's say, 3 22 magnums center mass than you've got a 45 that you're just firing. And it's just shot placement. Just that's all there is to it. If it get knockdown power, there's no such thing. If it knocked them down, it would knock you down. That's one of Newton's laws, I think. So we got past those. If anybody's interested in it, well, it can be self-defense. So a target pistol, this is a great gun. We're not on on Facebook, so I can't show you. But this is a Ruger 22-45 Mark III. And the reason is 22 long rifle. The reason for the 22/45 is it kind of, well, I'll say kind of, has all the controls in the same place that a 1911 would. So if you're supposedly, if you're used to a 1911 and you don't want to spend a lot of ammo, I don't think it would convert that easy. Great gun. The only warnings I would give you is get a YouTube video about how to field strip it. And I would also use a good quality 22 long rifle, which you have to do for most semi-autos anyway, because a lot of times you buy the cheapest brand, which are fine for your revolvers, but in semi-auto, they just won't cycle it.
Yep.
So get a premier kind, especially if you're going for your self-defense round. And they make hollow points and all that in 22s.
So, Jez, we have a couple of texts here on our text line, and one of the is from Daniel. Daniel says, I got turned away at Sanger Theater going to a concert. So in the first part of our program, we were talking about different places that had no gun signs. But
Sanger has gone through some weird changes.
Well, they use magnetometers and
well, yeah. But I was going to say they may have qualified as part of the university, but they've gone through some weird ownerships. But I think they probably use magnetometers and guards.
Yes, they do.
All the hours that it's open.
So if they provide security, a rule of thumb is
not just security.
Guards and magnetometers, biometric screening.
Yep.
And the issue is, well, that provides, I don't think it does, but provides some minimum level of safety. So maybe you don't need to take your firearm if they have guards. Wish it said armed guards, frankly. But it says guards and magnetometers, biometric screening, et cetera. So they're probably okay at the Sanger, not so much at Waffle House. I tell people, just carry.
I patron a Waffle House every now and again, and I really haven't seen their signs. So I guess maybe I've overlooked it.
Well, they used to be out on the side of the building, and it would be a revolver with a slash.
Well,
that means you can't bring a revolver.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't carry a revolver most of the time.
So,
yeah.
But I think they're just on all the company stores. Another, if you like semi-autos, Beretta makes that tip-up. It's not Tomcat. I think it's the Bobcat. This is 22, but it does the tip up. You can put the round in. We'll be right back. We'll tell you more about that. More at Armed Alabama after this quick break.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I thank God for all the freedoms we've got in this country. I cherish them and treasure them. Even the rights to burn the flag, you know. I'm proud of those rights. But I tell you what, we've also got, let me tell you something. Shh. We've also got a right to bear arms, and if you burn my flag, I'll shoot you.
We don't necessarily endorse the statement you just heard, but he's got the right to say it, which sounds pretty good to me. Adam, one thing we were talking about last week when you were off is, if goodness forbid you were involved in a self-defense shooting, you know, how do you handle the police? And there's really no, I mean, the best answer is don't say anything. But under Alabama law, you're going to, well, under every law, you're going to be arrested. And Alabama law says the police have a right to, you know, investigate and determine whether or not there's an arguable ground that you did use self-defense. And, for instance, arguable ground, you're in your house, you're in your pajamas, your kids are there, your front door smashed open, and you shot and killed somebody. That's pretty evident there. But in that case, we mentioned last week, I'd give name, address, hey, there's the hatchet he had or whatever the weapon, you know, the basics, and then say, you know, I need to talk to my attorney. Can we make an appointment with you tomorrow after I get a hold of him? Now, if you're at your girlfriend's house and her ex-husband, you know, is half naked in the bedroom and you've shot him, that's one where you just probably ought to be quiet because you just don't know what's going on. And you're going to have to judge it at the time. One thing Charlie brought up is great. We haven't brought it up in a while is you're in the parking lot. You're the Good Samaritan. Let's say you see a man, you're screaming at a woman and he's getting ready, you think, to start hitting her. You know, do you go over and get involved? You know, we want to do that. We're Southern chivalrous males. The danger of it is, let's say the woman stole the man's car and he's just caught up with her.
Or he's a Bell's bondsman. And
yep, he's got a writ of arrest.
Yep.
So my general feeling is call the police unless it's somebody you know well enough to be a member of your family.
Yeah, and be a good witness.
Yeah.
And another point that I had on that, too, is that if I'm carrying concealed, I may be a little more inclined to try to get involved than if I'm unarmed.
You know, actually, if I'm unarmed, statistics I think I'm going to say the opposite.
They are just the opposite.
You would think that, hey, this makes my muscles bulge a little bit. You know, you do your biceps, you don't get these petting kitty cats. But the stats are that people with concealed carry permits are more careful about, you know, anything related.
Yeah, because
to
if you get involved, you're very yep. likely to be well, super involved.
You're committed. You're committed.
But the key is make that call. You can stand over there and say, hey, you know, what's going on or whatever, but I would be very reluctant to use deadly force unless that was my daughter and I knew that shouldn't be going on.
Yeah, and I think in our part of the country, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I would think that most people would tend to not get involved.
Well, it's the Kitty Genovese syndrome. And if you ever read about the famous case in New York, I think it was 65, Kitty Genovese, horrible, where she was raped and murdered in front of 50 people who were – and this was a decent neighborhood who were calling other neighbors. Are you watching what's going on? And no one called the police.
Yeah.
I mean, it took place over half an hour. It was like a recent anniversary of it, so I watched a program on it. It's a terrible thing. Adam, I put up on our Facebook page, as we're still doing Facebook, so many people have a confused role about the United States Supreme Court. They think, well, when the Supreme Court rules on a case, and let's say the Supreme Court says, you can't wear black shoes anymore, sorry, that only affects the parties before it. It doesn't affect you. You don't have to go take your black shoes off unless you were a party to the lawsuit, a defendant. Now, it's great what we call precedent. So if somebody wants to sue you saying, hey, no black shoes, they're probably going to win. But it's not an automatic self-enforcing order. That order goes to usually the Circuit Court of Appeals and then the District Court saying enforce this as against the parties. And people, I mean, it doesn't matter what – the recent one was the same-sex marriage case. People – regardless what you feel about it, the correct rule is when the Supreme Court ruled as they did, that didn't automatically become a requirement in every state in the country. It was only the states that were before the Supreme Court. And to show you, those several cases kept litigating with the litigants who wanted it, claiming attorney's fees because they said, hey, this isn't over. We've still got to do this and that. But, you know, on high-profile things, people just get all ahead of themselves. But anyway, I attached a link to an article, but maybe better yet, a 30-minute interview because the article's 59 pages. But it goes all the way back to what we call judicial supremacy, which is is not valid. It isn't grounded in the Constitution. It's the courts in 69 just took that power. But Josh Blackman, he's a good guy. You ought to go to his YouTube page if you want to learn anything. He's somebody that you can take to the bank what he says about constitutional law. So it's on, I think it's the top of our top or first post on our YouTube page. But the paper's good. And listen, it's not Latin. Take a week to read it. It's interesting.
Judge, one thing that we've talked about at length is fentanyl.
Yes.
And
we always used to know as basically a patch, duragesic patch for people had chronic pain like cancer or something like that. And as the doctors wouldn't prescribe it to you unless you had been on, let's say, pills for a long time and had built up a resistance.
Yeah, because it's really, really strong stuff.
And if me or you put it on our arm, maybe we will die.
So, of course,
our Chinese.
Yeah, friends. When I bring up fentanyl, I bring it up in a criminal capacity.
And there's your quote opioid overdose.
Yes, China is just they're manufacturing a large amount of fentanyl and is being sold to Mexico, and it's not manufactured in a very uniform way to begin with.
Really?
And then it gets sold to the cartel in Mexico, or they manufacture their own version of it, and they mix it in with other illicit drugs. And next thing you know, you have a recipe for disaster. And those drugs are being brought across the border. That, you know,
course, the open border.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, this, you know, we have people in
we had Mexican troops arrest some of our national.
That was the next thing I was going to talk about. That was the next thing I was going to bring up. But this fentanyl is coming across the border, and it is just killing thousands of Americans. And I encourage you to look at statistics.
If you've got a pain problem, go to a doctor. Go to as many doctors as it takes to get your problem resolved. Squeaking wheel. Don't, if the first doctor says, there's nothing we can do, don't just, I better go get my fentanyl or my marijuana. Keep squeaking. I know that because I had, unfortunately, a relative with cancer, and you just got to keep squeaking. But, you know, stuff that you don't have a quality assurance of, I wouldn't eat a piece of candy. Well, I guess I have maybe at a fair or something like that, but that's stretching it. But that's the opioid deaths is the fentanyl because nobody knows what in the world's in it.
Yeah, it can have a little bit or it can be made with a lot or laced with something else. And like I say, it's pouring in from Mexico and it is just literally killing thousands of
people. They promised to do something about it.
The other side of that is if there wasn't a market for it, it wouldn't be coming across.
Well, that's always the case. You know, there's a market for just about
everything. And we have enough people who insist on getting a prescription from a drugstore, it better be precise and accurate. But that same person will take something from a street dealer and throw it in their mouth.
I've always thought about counting my pills, but I thought that's like a little crazy. Folks, we're near the end of the hour. Want you to join us next week, Tuesday night, for more of Armed Alabama. We'll talk about these and other subjects. And Charlie's going to be on a wonderful vacation, and we will have a fill-in next week producer, but we'll be here and hopefully we'll be back either on YouTube or if not Facebook when my wife stops gambling at the casinos or wherever she was.
And if I'm arrested next week and I get one free phone call overseas,
don't call me.
Don't call me.
No, I thought I'd call the show.
Got to give a shout out. My son's 30th birthday was last Thursday night. Can you imagine that? Yeah, 30 years old. He was born 2 pounds, 13 ounces.
Wow.
And breathed on his own and walked on his first birthday. So don't be discouraged if you've got a preemie somewhere and you're watching the preemie in the incubator. Things turned out great. See you next week. To prove